certainly good to be with you this morning. Looking forward to the fellowship that we will have together throughout this day. Looking forward to the fellowship meal. I don't know about you, but this is always a little bit more difficult as I smell the food and it smells good. And I'm hungry. I know you're hungry. I hope we're hungry. Spiritually speaking, though, this morning as we open God's Word together, as we study. As we begin our study this morning, I just want to, by way of introduction, remind you that as we open the Word of God and as we present a lesson from the Scripture this morning, there are really three purposes to our lesson this morning. Number one, to encourage. Number two, to remind. And then number three, to warn. I think sometimes we forget that third purpose. The nature of Scripture not only encourages us, it not only reminds us of what is important, but it also warns us. You'll remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, verse number 12, where Paul says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." That is a warning. And so anytime we study Scripture, I believe we should be mindful of those three purposes. We open God's Word, we find encouragement, we find reminders, but we also see warnings that apply to us. I believe this morning as we talk about the subject of backsliding, it is a reminder plus a warning. As you study the Old Testament, you're going to see that backsliding was real. It was a problem that God's people faced. As you turn over to Jeremiah chapter 3 with me, we're going to see that from Jeremiah chapter 3. But as you think about the book of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 24, God says that His people were going backwards, not forward. They were going backwards. And so when we talk about backsliding, we're talking about a direction. And God's people were going in the wrong direction. We need to be sure as we go through this life that we are heading in the right direction. Our focus, our direction needs to be heading in the right way. Well, God's people were going in the wrong way. God says they were going backwards. Now in Jeremiah chapter 3, you're going to see three times in this chapter that God describes His people as black, backsliding children. Look at Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 12. "Go and proclaim these words toward the north and say, Return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever." And then notice with me verse number 14. "Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you." And then in verse number 22, "Return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings." Three times God refers to His people as backsliding children, backsliding Israel. But notice three times the Lord says, "Return to me, return to me, return to me, and I will heal your backslidings." As you turn your attention to the book of Hosea, the book of Hosea reminds us of this truth concerning backsliding. In fact, God describes His people in Hosea chapter 4, verse number 16, as a backsliding heifer. As a backsliding heifer. And then in Hosea chapter 11, verse number 7, again, God called out to His children who were backsliding. And in the book of Hosea, God encouraged His people through the prophet Hosea to return. God called unto them, but they wouldn't return. Backsliding was a major problem for the children of Israel. It was a reality. It's something that God's people struggled with. Now, if you would, turn with me to the New Testament. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 15. Let's notice a couple of passages from the New Testament in Luke chapter 15. This has to do with the parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15. And just read with me, beginning at verse number 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him, and the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Our lesson this evening will center more on Luke chapter 15, but Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost sheep, reminds us of what we just read about in the book of Jeremiah, the book of Hosea. God's people can backslide. God's people can wander away. Isn't it interesting, as you study Scripture, as we noticed in Psalm 100 and other passages, and even in Luke chapter 15, that God's people a lot of times are described as sheep. Have you ever thought about why God describes His people as sheep? Well, if you know anything about sheep, you begin to probably understand why God describes His people as sheep. Our behavior is very similar to sheep. If you know anything about sheep, sheep have a tendency to wander away. God's people, Old Testament, New Testament, have a tendency at times to wander away from God. I marvel, Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him. Galatians 1, verse number 6. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 4 through 7, Paul says, You did run well. Verse 7, he says, You did run well. But earlier in verse 4 of Galatians chapter 5, he says these words, You have fallen from grace. What does he mean? You're going backwards. You're not going forward. Just like the children of Israel in Jeremiah chapter 7, verse number 24. Just like God described His people as a backsliding heifer, Paul was describing the church at Galatia. They were going in the wrong direction. Now, if you would, turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. There are certain books that remind us about this subject of backsliding. You actually see the word backsliding, but you see the concept, you see the reality of it, even in the New Testament. Turn over, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 2. Notice, as you're turning over to the book of Hebrews chapter 2, I want you to listen to the language, beginning at verse number 1. Notice verse number 1, therefore. The writer is really going back to chapter 1. The focus is on Christ. The focus is hearing Christ, listening to Christ. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. But if you go back to chapter 2, verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time, the King James says, we should let them slip, the New King James, lest we drift away. Lest we slip, or lest we drift away. Here is another example of Christians, the church, drifting away from God. Now notice another passage from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 38. In Hebrews 10, verse 38, now the just shall live by faith. This is something that we see in the book of Hosea. The just shall live by faith. But listen to the language. But if any man draw back, that has to do with backsliding. If any man draw back, God says, my soul shall have no pleasure in that individual. By way of introduction, We see that our lesson this morning comes in a form of encouragement. It reminds us and it warns us about backsliding. Backsliding was a real problem for the people of God in the Old Testament. Backsliding was a reality for the people of God in the New Testament. And it's something that we should be aware of. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall away, lest he goes backwards and not forward. Now, notice this, the second part to the lesson. First of all, we've established that backsliding is a reality. It can happen to me. It can happen to you. It happened to them. It can happen to us. Now, number two, there are many things that can cause us to backslide. I'm simply just going to go through a list of things. And this isn't an exhaustive list. There are things that you can add to this list. But I'm going to mention several things. And as you think about these things that I'm going to mention can cause you to go in the wrong direction. Number one, false teaching can cause you to go backwards. We see that was a major problem with God's people in the Old Testament. I mentioned the book of Galatians. I mentioned the book of Hebrews. This first point would fit with the book of Galatians, also with the book of Hebrews. Many of these Christians were turning to a different gospel, not the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were turning to false doctrine, and Jesus warns us. In Matthew chapter 7, verse number 15, beware of false teachers which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. We learn in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There is so much false teaching in the world today. If you want to believe something, I promise you, you'll find somebody that will teach it if you look hard enough. And they'll even attach God's name to such false theories or false ideas, false doctrines. Our world is saturated with false teaching. That can cause you to go in the wrong direction. The Apostle John encourages us in the book of 1 John chapter 2 to abide in the Word of God, to abide in the truth of God's Word. And as long as we're abiding in the truth of God's Word, we're going to maintain that fellowship and we're going to be heading in the right direction. Number two, the cares, the pleasures, the riches of this world can cause you to go in the wrong direction. In fact, as you read the parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13, we see that in the parable of the sower, it's the cares, it's the riches that can choke the Word of God out of your life. Go back very quickly to the book of Jeremiah. I want you to notice something with me in the book of Jeremiah. I mentioned backsliding from the book of Jeremiah. We notice this in Jeremiah chapter 4, Jeremiah chapter 3. But turn over to Jeremiah chapter 6, and you're going to see one of the causes of backsliding. Jeremiah chapter 6. Listen to it. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse number 13. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them. That includes everybody. The least, the greatest. Listen to what Jeremiah says. From the least unto the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. This desire of wanting more and more and more, the opposite of contentment. Covetousness, Paul says, which is idolatry in Colossians 3, verse number 5. In Luke 12, verse number 15, Jesus says, beware of this. Beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the things which he possesses. And then you have the parable of the rich farmer. And you see a major problem for him was materialism. Materialism will cause you to go backwards. That's what caused the children of Israel to go backwards. And that's what can cause so many to go in the wrong direction. Number three, a failure to add to our faith the Christian virtues. The language of 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 9. Peter is going to list out different virtues that we're to add to our faith. And Peter says, if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that ye should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1 verses 8 through 10. And so we're to add the Christian virtues to our life. Number four, the hardships of this life can cause you to go backwards. They can cause you to abandon God. And we see in Proverbs chapter 24, verse number 10, where Solomon says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, Solomon says, your strength is small. Look at what he's saying. If you give up in the midst of hardship, again, your strength, your spirituality isn't very much at all if you are throwing in the spiritual towel. But hardships can cause you to go backwards. That's why the New Testament has so much to say about the trials, the hardship, the adversity that we face in this life. James talks about it in James chapter 1, 2 through 4. The Apostle Peter talks about the adversity of this life in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. And we learn that adversity, hardships, trials really have a way of strengthening our faith if we allow them to. Now, the hardships of this life, they can strengthen us or they can cause us to go in the wrong direction. And I would put persecution right there with hardship. And write down Matthew chapter 13, verse number 21. Not only will materialism cause people to fall away from the parable of the sower, persecution, hardship can also cause people to fall away. And the Bible has so much to say about persecution. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Even on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warns us, reminds us about the cost of discipleship. Because he says, blessed is he who is persecuted for righteousness' sake. Being a Christian isn't going to be easy. There's going to be hardships. There's going to be resistance. There's going to be persecution. The Apostle Peter, the book of Revelation, deal with that persecution. And we're encouraged in Revelation 2, verse number 10, to be thou faithful in the midst of that persecution. But hardship, persecution can cause you to wander away from God. It can cause you to drift away from God. Notice this next point. A desire to be with non-Christians. Notice that desire. That desire to be with non-Christians can cause you to drift away. I actually want to turn to this context. If you would, turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. When you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, this serves as another warning. The very nature of Scripture. Scripture encourages us. Scripture reminds us, but Scripture also warns us. Listen to this warning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, read with me verse number 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together, notice with who? With unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Listen to the exhortation, verse number 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Another great passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 33. Evil communication corrupts good morals. Again, God is warning us about who we are yoked with. One of the things that can cause people to drift away is the wrong kind of relationships. And we need to be very careful who our friends are, who we are yoked with. Are we yoked with light, people who are walking in the light, or are we yoked with darkness, people who are yoked living in darkness? I promise you, if you are yoked with people who are walking in darkness, that darkness is going to tug on you and pull you back into the world. And that's why some people drift away from the Lord. They are closer to people that are in the world than they are to people within the body of Jesus Christ. Another way people will drift away from God. Another form another thing that will cause people to drift away is discouragement. Discouragement. People get discouraged sometimes, and they will find themselves drifting away from God. Notice this last, and again, you can add to this list, and I would encourage you to add to this list. But another thing that they can cause people to drift away, to backslide, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. We might summarize that by putting down the word temptation. Temptation can cause you to drift away from God. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse number 28, "For whosoever looks upon a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Jesus is saying or warning us that if that's what your mind is dwelling on, that's what you're going to do. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life can cause us to drift away from God. Drifting away, backsliding is real. It's something that God's people struggled with in the Old Testament. It's something that we see people in the New Testament struggling with. Our own brethren struggle with backsliding. It's something that we're all aware of. We have all seen individuals drift away from God. And it's not a pretty picture, is it? But we've noticed several things that can cause us to drift away. Notice our third point. I believe as you think about the subject of backsliding, drifting away, there are some telltale signs of drifting. And I'll give these to you very quickly because we have one more point to the lesson. We want to talk about the remedy. But notice these telltale signs. A lack of interest in spiritual things. It is a telltale sign that you're beginning to drift away from God. A lack of fellowship. Not having that appetite to fellowship with the brethren. Again, is a sign that you might be drifting away. Not redeeming the time is another sign. In Ephesians 5, verse number 16, we are to redeem the time. And we can redeem the time by worshiping with the saints. We can redeem the time by fellowshipping, spending time with one another outside of the assembly, doing things with each other, talking with each other, encouraging one another. But if you find yourself just drifting away from the people of God, more than likely you'll find yourself drifting away from God. Don't wait.
Until you see these things in your life, be aware of them. Be on guard. Realize that these things can happen to you. These things can happen to me. So think about this last point, and then the lesson will be yours this morning. How do we prevent backsliding? Well, just as we listed out several things that can cause somebody to drift away, there are several things that we can mention that will keep us, that will prevent us from backsliding. I promise you, you look at the negative that we've mentioned already, you can replace it with a positive. That could be your points right there. You replace it with a positive. For example, first one we mentioned, false teaching. Don't listen to false teaching. Listen to the truth of God's Word. Plant the seed of God's Word in your mind. But I'm going to go in a different direction. I'm going to mention three words. And I believe these three words will pretty much summarize any point that you can come up with that will prevent backsliding. And this is just maybe a catchy way of remembering this. But number one, remember. Number one, remember. You can fall away from the Lord. You can be just like the children of Israel. You can find yourself drifting away. We have already noticed that in the Old Testament. And so we need to remember. Listen again what Paul says. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. We should never become arrogant spiritually speaking, where we come to the point where we say, you know what, that will never happen to me. If you get to that point, you're beginning to drift away, by the way. That's another sign when you are spiritually arrogant like the Pharisees who were puffed up about themselves. Remember what Jesus said about the Pharisees in Matthew 5, verse number 20. If you're going to be a part of my kingdom, your righteousness is going to have to exceed theirs. They were self-righteous. We're going to have to be, Matthew 5, verse 3, poor in spirit. We always need to remember, you know what? What happened to them could happen to me. The Apostle Peter, as he writes the brethren in the book of 1st and 2nd Peter, do you realize that he was writing in a way to stir them up by way of what? By way of remembrance. You can prevent backsliding by being reminded of what we read about in the Scriptures. Number two, you can prevent backsliding by keeping the proper focus. Turn back, if you would, to the book of Hebrews. We left the book of Hebrews for a few minutes, but I want to go back to the book of Hebrews. Now, we started in Hebrews chapter 2. In Hebrews chapter 2, we're to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest any time we should drift away. That's the context of the book of Hebrews. These Christians were drifting away from Christ. Now go, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. Here's the remedy, we might say. Hebrews chapter 12 is the remedy. Wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse number 2, looking, Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and that will keep you from drifting away from the Lord. Again, remember what God has said about backsliding. It happened to them, it can happen to us. Number two, keep your focus on the Lord. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And that's the book of Hebrews. You go through the book of Hebrews, and that's where our focus should be. It should be focused on Jesus Christ, who is our high priest. It should be focused on Jesus, who is the captain of our salvation. Remember. Focus. And then a third thing that will prevent you from backsliding is this. Exercise. Exercise. I love that terminology. And I'm not talking about physical exercise here. I'm talking about spiritual exercise. I know some of you were ready to go run a race, to go jogging. That's not what I'm talking about. Remember in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 7 and 8, the Apostle Paul uses that terminology. In fact, he'll even mention bodily exercise. It'll profit you maybe a little bit in this life. But then he goes on to explain himself. He encourages us to exercise ourselves unto godliness. For godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. And so how do I exercise myself unto godliness? I get involved in doing the Lord's work. I find myself doing more and more and more for the Lord. That should be seen in our lives individually. We should always be abounding in the work of the Lord. We should be doing more now than we did at the beginning. If that's not seen in our life, if we're not doing more now, we need to do some serious examination. We need to remember who we are. We need to remember what the Lord has called us to do, what the Lord has called us to be. We need to put our focus on Jesus, and we need to get involved. We need to exercise ourselves unto godliness. We need to be doing godly things. We need to be doing spiritual things. If we're doing godly things, if we're doing spiritual things, we're not going to drift away from God. We're going to be pressing forward. As Paul would say in Philippians 3, verse number 14, I press toward the mark. Are you pressing toward that mark this morning? As we think about the subject of backsliding, of drifting away from the Lord is real. It can happen to any one of us in here this morning. We see it happen to God's people in the Old Testament. It can happen even to us. Drifting away from God is real. And then we notice there are many things. There are many things that can cause us to wander away from God like sheep wandering away from the shepherd. There are telltale signs. You'll see these things in your life if you find yourself drifting away. But as we also looked at the Scriptures this morning, there are things in the Scripture that will keep us, that will prevent us from drifting away from God. I hope this lesson this morning encouraged you. I hope our lesson this morning reminded you. But I also hope our lesson this morning serves as a warning. Don't drift away from God. Now the exhortation, the call to action is this. Don't drift away from God. If you have drifted away from God, if you wandered away from God, remember three times in the book of Jeremiah, God told His people to return. Return. And listen, when we do that, God will heal your backsliding. Another way of saying it is God will forgive you. That's right. He'll take you back. If you wandered away, if you've had a change of mind, if you repent as a child of God, He'll take you back into His fold. We should be so thankful that we serve a God that is compassionate, a God that is loving, a God who will take us back. That's the message of the book of Hosea. God would take His people back any day if they would have a broken heart. You see, if you wandered away from God, God wants you to have a broken heart, a broken spirit. Psalm 55, verse number 17. God will welcome a broken heart any day when He can get all of the pieces. If you wandered away from the Lord, I hope this morning you have a broken heart. And I hope this morning you're willing to give God all of the pieces so that you can be restored to your first love. Another example of a congregation drifting away. Congregation in Ephesus, book of Revelation. God says, you've left your first love. Remember where you have fallen. Repent and return. Remember the R's. Remember, repent, and return. This morning, if we can help you in any way, spiritually speaking, we hope that you will respond to the Lord's invitation as we stand and as